good morning, good afternoon, good evening, dawn or dusk, doesn't matter when or where you're listening to this podcast, you've made it here. That's episode number 11 of Consistently Above Average. Andrew McGann here this Friday the 25th of October. It has been a very strange week, mixed emotions, but we are safely back, nestled away in the Northeastern Correspondence Studio of Consistently Above Average. Hopefully you've heard the recap episode from Rome. Maybe you just are tuning in Friday expecting it. Well, go back two episodes. There was one last Friday, there was one on Sunday, our first ever guest, to rapturous applause, to great reviews, demands of having him back on in a weekly situation. We're going to talk about it. We're going to think about it. Our people are in touch. My people contacted his people contacted us back. We're in negotiations. They're preliminary negotiations as of right now. Who knows what the future might bring? Okay. One podcast out before I competed, one after I competed. There's a lot to be ironed out on the guest front as well. Definitely a lot of to be ironed out technical-wise. We had to do a little bit of editing and cutting between myself and John, and a lot of that was down to one microphone and passing the microphone back and forth. I know how to do this sort of stuff better. I didn't have the ability to do it better over in Rome with what I had. We had to make do with what we had, so I think for what it was quite good. A lot of people do seem to enjoy the guest format. We've talked about it before. Definitely something that we're going to go down more consistently in the future. But as of right now, I can keep this organized within my own remit and accountability. So we will give it another week, a couple of weeks, and we may have somebody else on. So the week after a tournament is always a very confusing one. Who am I? What am I doing with my life? Am I wasting my life? All of this sort of stuff. It's a recurring theme. The post-tournament comedown is very, very real. Now, I'm going to Vegas in December. I'm doing the Worlds, so that's a very prominent thing in my head anyway. But there's also a bit of a pull happening in the back of my brain to say, get to the credit union ASAP. Let's go to Abu Dhabi for the World Pro in 3 weeks' time. That's something that appeals to me. And while I've really enjoyed training so much no-gi the last couple of months, I did keep up with two gi sessions a week. So I don't think I would be too far off the pace required in terms of being able to go and do both. So more to be determined on that. However, I have been very cautious about not going back full tilt in my training this week, as I've gotten sick twice this year already after competing. Now, maybe that was from depleting my body with a terrible weight cut, just by starving myself and whatever. I'm not sure. Either way, so far, so good as of now. We've approached this week a little bit different. Trained only really once a day. I took a day or two off as well at the start of the week. Went to Dublin last night as part of the agreements and arrangements with two of our platinum tier Patreon podcast members. Yes, for a very exclusive price per month, you can get a minimum of 1 hour social interaction in public with me in a location of your choosing. So with the first one, we went to Bunsen Burger, the first shop, the original shop, the one on Wexford Street in Dublin, been open for 11 years. It is the gold standard of burgers. I'll just nod my head politely and say, oh yeah, really? Oh, what's it called again? Oh yeah, it's good, is it? Blah, blah, blah. When someone suggests that somewhere else might be a better burger or the best burger in Dublin, you have to try the best burger in Dublin. It's in Sandyford. You have to try the best burger in Dublin, mate. It's in Ranelagh. Few sticks of Heinemite before the Leinster game and we'll get a burger down the road afterwards. No chance, right? A burger should be eaten comfortably with your two hands. A burger should be able to be picked up, maybe even in one hand, and eaten comfortably. It does not need to be stacked like something mental for an Instagram picture, eaten on a plate with a knife and fork of all things. No way. For that reason and that reason alone, Bunsen, that's Bunsen, may call that name as in a joke, you know, like a Bunsen burner from science. Well, it's called Bunsen Burger. Hilarious as it is. The menu, tiny, credit card sized. Developed by a friend of mine well over 10 years ago while he was a teenager. He said, if you're going to do a small menu, just have a credit card sized. And that means everyone knows that that's all that you do. Hilarious. Okay? Best burger, best name. By far, thank you. Try it if you hadn't. Have it, had had it yet for some criminal reason. Also, afterwards, we'll get to jiu-jitsu now, had an absolutely insane interaction in this coffee shop. Couple of new followers, couple of new fans of Consistently Above Average. because I made them put it in on Spotify and follow it, but whatever. But I met an old school, very old school, severe MMA fan last night by complete fluke and introduced himself. And the situation was quite funny. A friend of mine witnessed it. If he ever comes on the podcast one day, he barely even listens to the podcast. He'll probably deny that it ever happened. He may tell the story. But this whole thing couldn't have happened in a funnier way. I was delighted to meet your man. I'm very appreciative, not only that people still think fondly of stuff that I had done over 10 years ago, but now he's aware of the new podcast and he's delighted with himself. So he's gonna listen to it, he said. So, like, I'm also, like, one of the Platinum Podcast members who was there to witness it, who pays me a huge amount of money every month just to be a Platinum Podcast Patreon member. It's something I'm sure that he will cherish for a long time, even if he'll deny that it ever happened. It was brilliant. It was hilarious. It was great to see. And then I took a 30-minute detour afterwards to meet another subscriber, the other Platinum subscriber, had a coffee outside their work in the Grand Canal Dock. The Grand Canal Dock, the Canary Wharf of Dublin, ladies and gentlemen. Business doesn't sleep. Business doesn't sleep. We're working all night. We're getting the spreadsheets done. We're just hammering out this project. Going to leave at about 4 a.m., get home for a couple of hours sleep, get back in the office at 7. My boss loves that I stay till 4 in the morning and I'm back at 7. Grand Canal Dock, avoid it like the plague. Unless you want to see people in, what are they calling them now? Gilets. That's what it is, isn't it? A gilet. A gillet. Do you know? Like a jumper. A jumper with no sleeves on. The corporate finance dad jackets. Whatever you want to call them. Anyway, I'm on a tangent here because Dublin overstimulates me and it makes me realise why I like it. And then, you know, I sound like someone from the Middle Ages discovering star and moon navigation for the first time. Going to Dublin every week used to be a huge part of my routine for about 7 years, 7, 8, 9 years, between college and going up to do radio on a Tuesday, getting the bus or train up, meeting people you'd know, head back home. I'm definitely at a point now where after having been there yesterday, I'm like, there's probably a lot to be said for the potential balance of my life being better by taking an afternoon or an evening or two off every week or two and heading up, meeting people, going for food that I haven't seen in a while, eating something somewhere nice. Get the train back to Dundalk and whatever, which is like a normal person listening to this podcast is going to be like, so you're going to take breaks? So you're not going to do this every day? So you're going to actually create like a training life balance? That seems like something you should have been doing for quite a long time. Listen, now that we have ultra platinum tier Patreon members who pay money to be able to take me for dinner, you're going to see a lot more of me. You know, that's the reason you have to keep those ultra platinum premium tier subscribers happy. And that's what I will do. So I will apologize as well because it also prompted me to change the scheduling of this week's podcast. I did an extra one on Sunday. That's fair enough. But I was wrecked. I went to bed last night quite late instead of recording it last night. Woke up to chaos this morning because the electricity had tripped overnight because an extension cable was left plugged in outside, started raining. That tripped the electricity. My alarm didn't go off at 6 o'clock. I was going to get up at 6 o'clock, smash the podcast out at 6, go for a 10K run straight away afterwards, do a bit of yoga, have overnight oats afterwards. That plan did not happen. I woke up a lot later. I woke up later than the usual time this podcast has even released it. And I'm recording it now. So apologies massively to the regular Friday morning commuters who have been sitting waiting at the edge of their seats for this episode to be released when it does finally get released. As I have training in an hour and then I have training again an hour and a half after that. So it may be the early afternoon. So it'll be for your commute home. However, this decompression thing is something that I think a lot of people will be feeling this week. You don't want to take your foot off the gas, but you've just committed a severe amount of physical and mental and emotional effort towards something. Then you have the occasion in itself, in terms of the Europeans, which is filled with a unique adrenaline of up and down type situation. You're abroad, you're there for a couple of days. Like, a lot of the advice that you might hear at times in this podcast would be, do as I say, not as I do. because we all get in our own way sometimes. We all know what the best thing possible that we could be doing is. And it's very easy to offer a suggestion to somebody else, consequence and guilt free, instead of changing something up yourself that you might be having difficulty changing. But a question was asked of me this week, which was, now that you've finished the tournament, what would you have done different in your preparation for the tournament? And are you going to consider doing the same sort of prep and training sessions for the Gi Europeans as well? So let's start with some boy maths here. Jiu-jitsu boy math, as they would say in America. In my usual division of 67.5 kilo, one of the lads got disqualified in the final. The final of the Europeans, a black belt, got disqualified. Wait for it. You've probably seen the clip. Throwing a body kick. He threw a body kick and he claimed maybe his finger was dislocated. They were in that mercy grips type position and your man did yank it a little bit, but it did seem like all the fingers were interlinked. So legal in theory, probably a verbal tap from the guy, but one of his fingers did look bent. So maybe it was dislocated. Throwing the kick though was hilarious. Like, show the referee your dislocated finger. That's a DQ. You're a European champion. This guy, hilarious. What a legend. Okay, no, not a legend, but saw red. The epitome, the definition of just saw red and there was bodies everywhere, bro. Saw red, threw a kick to the body, was blocked all right, to be fair. The ref steps in, pushes him straight over to the mat, pushes him to the ground. The guy's rolling around on the floor with his hand. Ref ends up DQing the guy who throws the kick. But when I'm watching it, I keep watching it, apart from the kick, and I'm like, I recognize this guy. All right? Not to brag, because plenty of people have bet me, but I submitted this chap in April. I bet him in April. And now he's made the final of the Europeans. So boy math, lineal champion math, would imply to me that I could have, in fact, made the final of 67.5 kilos. Not impossible. Not completely realistic, but not unrealistic to suggest that it could have happened. And I have to ask myself a question now. Would I have relished the opportunity of losing a third European final? Yeah, absolutely. A third silver medal would have been a hilarious outcome altogether. A potential gold medal would have been even funnier, to be honest, based off my record and my prior experience in European finals. But now I'm asking myself, did I make the right decision in competing at the division that I did? In terms of, however, as I said, do as I say, not as I do. For a big tournament like that, I would generally be advising people that they should be dropping down a weight class if it was feasible for them to do so. Upon legitimate consultation with a nutritionist, the advice was, instead of starving yourself and being like 5 or 6 weeks out, not the smartest idea to try and cut 10% or more of your body weight for a same day weigh-in tournament in order to get to 67.5. You wouldn't be fresh. Your training would suffer. It may not be worth it. The proverbial juice may not be worth the squeeze. So whether that's me in that division out the window now in future, or it might need me to be to grow up a little. Grow up. Just grow up, Andrew. Eat the vegetables. Shut up and eat the vegetables. I can either do that and get to 67 more achievably, or I could just get huge, get jacked, get yoked, lift more weights, go get my bloods done from the doctor, tank my bloods by just living like a degenerate for 4 days in a row, get put on TRT and cut down and then be stronger at 73.5 kilo. A lot of stuff to think about. In terms of what would I do differently in my training, definitely some specific positional stuff. But it's easy to say that now because it's how I was beaten in my second match. Maybe a little bit of like recovery rounds from certain advanced passing positions would be very beneficial. A bit more urgency, like someone's almost passed into the mount from top half guard. That sort of stuff would be good. Sequences or drills, 15 second bursts of absolute insanity scramble-wise, where you're just trying to get back up to your feet to kill the scramble. Get back to a position where you can slightly refocus and take a quick breather. I also would have gone back in time with a time machine to address one particular thing that my opponent in the second match did very, very well with his passing, highlighted a big area that I'm weak at, in my opinion. Not going to reveal it in case any future ops are listening to this and want to exploit it, But thanks very much for the lesson from that second match. It has been noted and addressed with a matter of urgency. Would I starve myself to make the lower weight class? Probably not, to be fair. But as I said, boy math is a great excuse, great mental excuse after you've competed, thinking, oh, well, what if I had have done this? Maybe this would have been better. And for a big tournament like that in the future, I'm going to guilt trip him 100% to make sure that I have somebody there in my corner that has been training with me leading up to it over the last while. Now, I had Marty, Aaron and John from Derry. That was brilliant. Should have, and very helpful, should have guilt tripped John Luca for not coming over until later that day and missed my division. What a friend, huh? What a friend. What sort of a friend is that? Very arrogant main character behaviour on his part, if you're asking me. However, likely orchestrated by his manager, who has sent me several messages since the last episode giving off about how I pronounced her name. So, Malvina, I'm very sorry about that. I kept calling you Malwina, which was hilarious. And I know your name, and I say it right all the time, but on the podcast, it was just kind of funny. So, Malvina, I'm sorry about that. All right? So, looking at the end of the day, I tell people all the time, preparing for big tournaments, that you're going in with the possibility of someone not being able to coach you from a couple of feet away. They might be up in the stands, they might not be able to get to the mat, whatever. You have to be prepared for that eventuality, and there's going to be times, matches, experiences in the future where you're going to be out there blind, and someone on the side isn't going to be able to change the outcome of the match. You're going to have to be able to do that yourself. So, I would also like to run, and I'm planning on running some Gi European training sessions too. It's been talked about. Discussions are ongoing. Waiting to hear one or two things back about a potential venue as a way to upscale them a little bit more and open it to way more people. A different location in the north that's going to suit a lot more people in terms of how far people would have to drive. Neary suits Dublin. The majority of the people who came were from the north. Maybe if we move it somewhere in the north where is a shorter distance or an equal distance for everyone to have to travel to, that could be a good thing. We're going to hear information, I'm going to say, within the next week and a half. Within the next week, 2 weeks, we're going to have the first date locked in and announced, and then we can take everything from there and we'll get the ball rolling. So, I also got a couple of questions this week, and I'm not going to dox their identities in terms of they are anonymous. You send them to me. I'm not going to say who said them. Some of the topics we're going to discuss over the next few weeks, and we're open for more suggestions, getting back to training after a major injury, training around injuries, competing in the adult division when you're a master's competitor, the art of not going 100% in your training, developing some personal branding and networking in jiu-jitsu, and as well as some pretty niche topics that are written down and will not spoil in terms of what we're going to talk about in the future. So there's one question that came through that I had a conversation on the train home last night with somebody. I was like, I've just had the same question twice. So, one on the internet and one unintentionally. So, why is getting beaten up at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu enjoyable? All right. You can find answers to that on the internet. It's a hilarious question, but it's also very valid. And to my knowledge, this is from what someone has told me. So, maybe it's happened in other places and just people aren't verbalizing it. I have only heard of one person in my entire time training in a gym that I'm aware of who, for want of a better word, might have been sensually enjoying or overtly enjoying the thought or act of being beaten up by people. So they apparently had been making certain noises, making certain comments during rolls, rolling with lads. They didn't last too much longer. They were said, look, maybe this isn't for you. And they accepted that and left, which would imply that it may have been some sort of kink or fetish that they had been acting out on. Maybe you've had that in your gym before. I don't know. This question, by the way, not asked by the person who asked that question. I hope. I know. But there's also an old account that a lot of people have been messaged from before, Luca Judo, who will send you a message asking, oh, can you choke me out for money and stuff like that. These things exist, but I have not come across them in real life. So when you are, it takes some time from when you're starting jiu-jitsu, in my opinion, to then end up enjoying the feeling of getting beaten up. but it also takes a person with a certain type of worldview and mentality in how they're looking at this sport and the martial art in general. So if I'm being very generally speaking here, there could be two examples, two common reactions to being introduced to jiu-jitsu and taking your first beating as such, or losing a role and feeling helpless. Very stereotypical, small, quiet person who's a purple belt, blue belt or whatever, being able to beat a Chad, being able to beat, control, submit the athletic beginner, the jock, the high school, the American football captain, you know, the prom king, blah, blah, blah. The person who's athletic with no experience, who previously thought that they might have been able to handle themselves in a fight, and then they come up against the wee lad who's reading a book in the corner and whatever. Like, this is being so broad and stereotypical about the example, but the bigger person thought they would have been able to fight and would have been able to win the match. They come and they get beaten, they get pasted. They're going to come to two major conclusions. Number one, they're going to make excuses. They're going to tell themselves, well, if this was a street fight, I would have won. If I had have got up an hour earlier, I would have won. If I could have eye gouged them, they wouldn't have done that to me. They'll take it badly. They'll end up only rolling and getting beaten up by bigger people instead. They'll avoid the smaller ones. And eventually they'll quit jiu-jitsu and they'll not progress any further. Or there's the person who will have a more of an inquisitive mind and they'll wonder, how is that person able to do that to me? And they'll see the personal challenge and development of thinking, how can I make it not happen again? How am I able to learn that myself? What is it that this person is doing that is allowing them to control, sweep, pin me with such ease? And they see it as a challenge in terms of wanting to learn something and understanding it better. So if the person has that mindset, we'll call it an abundance mindset and approach, they're probably going to enjoy jiu-jitsu and getting beaten up a little bit more because they realize that they're learning something as they're getting beaten up. The conversation that I had on the train last night was with someone from a very similar profession and stuff like that, from the person who asked the question to begin with. And I gave them that scenario and asked them what did they think. And they said that they couldn't answer honestly until they tried it and felt how it felt to lose a combative experience like a jiu-jitsu match coming from whatever they do. But he said, I suppose it would be a good ego death and that you would then want to learn how it happened. So they've accepted that they aren't what they thought they were, that it was a humbling experience, but now they're keen to learn it so that they can do it as well. And there is something as well that's quite primitive and primal about it all that makes it enjoyable, that whether it's wrestling or grappling exchanges, that are probably like prehistorically, genetically in our bodies. Like, we're programmed not only to be able to do these things, but to also enjoy them as like an act of play. Like, there are loads of videos of animals playing with each other that look like they're wrestling or doing jiu-jitsu, whether it's like monkeys, cats, whatever. It's hilarious and fascinating to watch. It's worth watching them just to see them and realize that they're doing very similar movements to what you're trying to do when you're training. And if you're coming into the sport, for example, from another background, maybe like soccer, rugby, CrossFit, athletics, cycling, rowing, gymnastics, GA, whatever, you might be proficient in that area. You're coming into something now where you're a complete beginner and you're relishing the start of another learning curve in your life, such as starting at the bottom of something again. So like the people that have multiple degrees, masters, PhDs, whatever, who just love learning, love academia, they're on a constant source of knowledge. The same can be applied and thought of from a jiu-jitsu perspective. Someone might say, nah, this isn't for me, whatever. I'd rather go back to just staying in my lane, focusing on the thing that I'm best at. Others would want to think, here's something that I can learn, that I want to get better at, that I'm enthused about getting better at, and they understand that the cost of that is sometimes being controlled, being dominated, being bet up at the start as you're getting to grips to it. It would be the same as you'd never see me in an MMA fight or a Thai boxing fight or anything like that. Should have taken up striking when I was younger to be more competent and understanding and whatever. Some people have a massive appeal in getting hit or being hit and doing the one doing the hitting. That what it can bring out of them, what it does for them, 100%. I'm fully on board with that. It's just not for me. And I suppose like one of the last things that I would finish up in saying that, because I will dox this man in particular. I will say his name. And I was talking to someone about him last night, specifically in this example, Cormac O'Hanlon, who trains with us, has had a huge effect on people staying at jiu-jitsu. and wanting to keep training and enjoying the environment. Like, the unsung hero of the Northeastern Jiu-Jitsu scene by 100%. The environment and the culture that somebody comes into to learn the sport of Jiu-Jitsu is going to have a huge effect on how they take to it, if they feel welcome enough into coming back, and if they want to be coming back to it at all. To the person who's asking, why is getting beaten up at Jiu-Jitsu enjoyable? If you are getting beaten up and the gym you're in were a load of arseholes, not really speaking to each other, like chatting about the place, staring each other out of it, like a load of like proper arseholes. If the instructor made people do like 15 minutes of cardio to warm up in the class, they might have rules about not being allowed to spar or ask higher belts to train or whatever. If those things were all in play and you were constantly sought out by bigger purple and brown belts who just wanted to hurt you and seem like they're rolling with bad intentions, there's a good chance that getting beaten up would not seem as enjoyable to you. The atmosphere that is curated in a gym is important. The terms of engagement being explained clearly to everybody, to beginners, to whoever, from the start is so important. The terms of engagement. We can train hard. We can compete with each other. We're not going to take it personally. We can both want to win. If somebody taps, you're going to respect it. If you're trying to submit someone, you're going to give them the opportunity to tap. You're not going to crank submissions on. You're not going to hurt someone. Everyone has to get up and go to work the next day. We shake hands. We're going to go. We're going to train again. All right? You can absolutely tell a mile off when the intentions or vibes or energy is off with someone and how they're rolling, because they're unable to conceal it through their energy or their aggression. They haven't figured that out yet. Getting beaten up in a competitive environment where you know you're being shown a certain way of the martial art. Excuse that sentence. I'm after giving myself an ick. But you're being shown a certain way of how this should be done based off the ethos of the gym that you're at, instead of being beaten up because they don't like the look of you or because they've had a bad day and they want to take it out on a beginner who can't defend themselves. Those two things are two entirely different things. They're two different sports entirely. So I would say on a subconscious level that you're tapping into something like that, which makes it so enjoyable. You're being involved into a community. You're being around a load of like-minded people. You're seeing people who've done the journey ahead of you and think that's achievable for me as well. It's completely the thing. And that's why Cormac is such a huge, huge, huge influence on so many people's jiu-jitsu, because he asked them, well, how are you getting on? Because he asked them and he remembers little things and he tells them safe home when they're leaving. And then I'm thinking, do you know what? That man said safe home to me. What a gent. Do you know what I mean? I'm slagging him now and saying that because his ego is going to go through the roof. He's a reluctant listener of this podcast. I'm still going to beat the flip out of him on Sunday when I see him. But now that we're recorded, listen, this is insane. I'm so sorry for the week being different this week. I've trained at 10:15 now. I have to leave very, very soon to be able to make that on time. I've then got training again at 12 o'clock. Everything going to plan, the episode will be live before 12. Apologies for the change of scheduling. Maybe you're going to be listening later and you don't particularly care what time was released at. However, it bothers me massively that this was not released at 7:15 as usual every Friday morning. We're not going to run into a logistic problem like that for a while anyway. So please follow Consistently Above Average on Instagram. Rate us 5 stars. Give us a follow on any podcast platform that you're on. Passed a big milestone on the listener front this week. A big milestone, which we did in record time compared to the last milestone that we passed. A lot of the older episodes getting traction again. People going back and listening through the back catalogue or discovering us for the first time, sharing the podcast and people going back and listening to it. Every share helps. Every recommendation of the podcast helps. Encourage your training partners to listen to it. Even encourage, talk to your training partners about it in the gym so we can find out who's my haters, who are my haters. So that when you say, oh, did you listen to Andrew McGann's podcast? And then they'll be like, if Andrew McGann told me it was raining outside, I'd go and check. If Andrew McGann told me that today's day ended in the letter Y, I'd look up the dictionary. If Andrew McGann told me it was going to be sunny, I'd bring waterproofs. That's what you can find out as well by recommending the podcast to the people that you train with and people that you know. Again, thanks to everyone who shares it, who follows us, who interacts with us, who enjoys it. If you've joined us for the first time this week as well, you're very, very welcome. Hope to see you back in the future. I will talk to you all next Friday morning. Good luck.